B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
We're still talking about it here on a Thursday, many days after the Eagles made the pick of Jalen Hurts in the second round. And to try to explain it is a man who's very well respected, nationally recognized sports executive, and he is now bringing his perspective to academia. He is a professor and executive director of the Morad Center for the Study of Sports Law at Villanova Law School. He is, of course, Andrew Ray. Hello, Andrew.
Hey there, my friend. You know, it's interesting. We're going to be talking about another backup quarterback / starting quarterback situation because they've been running me wild and wearing me out in Wisconsin.
Yeah, I can imagine. Now, okay, so you are in the front office with the Packers, the infamous time that they take Aaron Rodgers while Brett Favre is the starter. Now, take me through that process as the man who was on the scene for it.
It was eerie the other night, on Thursday night, because it was 15 years to the day where we did that. Two things happened that night. Number one, all the players we wanted with first-round grades, except one, were gone. You know, we wanted DeMarcus Ware, gone, Cowboys. We wanted Marcus Spears, gone, Cowboys. We wanted this linebacker, Derek Johnson, bad, gone, Chiefs. So the second thing that's happening is nobody's taken Rodgers. Nobody. So here we are. We've got the most durable quarterback in the history of the sport. Never missed a snap, ever. And he's playing at a high level at age 35. And we got the coaches going crazy. We can't do this. We can't take a player that won't help us now, maybe not next year, maybe never. And then I look over at Ted Thompson. He says, Andrew, what do we always say? Trust the board. And the board is telling us, you take this player. Rather than dip into our second-round grades and take a corner or a defensive lineman that you know, is a second-round grade. So a lot of combustion, waiting 12 minutes on the clock, made Aaron sit there the whole time, see if anybody called. Nobody called. And we took him. And I immediately got a call from Brett's agent. Brett called the coach. Lambeau Field party below us booed like crazy. Aaron was put on a good face, but, you know, he probably wasn't thrilled to come to Wisconsin and not play. And then, just to wrap this up, Mike, 3 years. 3 years I dealt with this. 3 years where Brett's calling, his camp is calling every week saying, Andrew, you know what it's like to come in and sit next to your replacement every day? It's no fun. And then Aaron's camp is calling every week and saying, is he ever going to play? I mean, is he ever going to play?
So now you have a major problem, okay? And this is where I'm going with this conversation. Now, first of all, it turns out to be the right move, right? For the Packers. But it turns out to be the right move a lot because the guy, who's your starter, is 35 years old. So it might be a little easier to trust the board to take a quarterback there. But you pointed out specifically the problems that it could cause when you're trying to smoothly run a team at the most important position in sports. So where do the Eagles find themselves? In that same spot that you just described?
It's obviously different for the reason you pointed out, and the Packers situation going on now is obviously different because Aaron is 35 or 36, even though he's playing at a Hall of Fame level. This is different because of two things. Number one, the age. And number two, I'm talking about Wentz, of course. And number two, the extraordinary resources put into this player. I mean, what they gave up in terms of draft resources that really hamstrung their draft for 2 years in terms of volume. They just got back to regular volume this year. And then, of course, the financial resources. So let's just make it clear in case anyone's wondering. Carson Wentz is not going anywhere. And then Aaron Rodgers is not going anywhere in Green Bay for at least a couple years. But now you put this element into it where what are they going to do with him? what are they going to do with him? Because the him in Green Bay, it's a first-round pick. You know he's going to play at some point. And I think you apply that to a second-round pick, too. They're going to play. And I'm sure you're talking about this, and it's not, you don't draft a player second round to be a gadget guy. You really don't. I mean, Taysom Hill was a gadget guy coming out of undrafted, cut by the Packers. You don't draft that high for a gadget guy. He's a quarterback. So I agree with you. This sets up a tough situation, which they have to manage. Forget about media and fans. They've got to manage it internally.
All right. Now, forget about the calls coming in from Jalen Hurts' agent or Carson Wentz's agent. Now you've got this fan base engaged. Now, in Green Bay, Favre was a hero. So he still had that kind of support. Here, I've noticed some fissures that the support for Wentz, because of all the injuries, has waned a little bit. So now, do you create a situation where he's looking over his shoulder, the starter, and if he goes three and out a couple a series, the fans turn on him because there's that lure of this Jalen Hurts guy?
You know, there's something about this that has me wondering, and I have no inside knowledge about this. Haven't talked to Howie, Doug, anybody about this. That they really, as much as he's been through, I think they still want to toughen this guy up, like thick skin him up. Because I don't know what's going on in there, but it almost feels like, hey, it wasn't enough that we had Foles over your shoulder for 2 years. We want to bring a young guy over your shoulder. See how you handle that. So, and I don't know if they've seen things where they feel like we need to toughen him up on the thick skin part of it. But he's clearly a talent. He's clearly a great player when he's right. I mean, great's an overused term, but I see him as a top young talent in the league. There's no question about that. But I wonder. You know, Mike, when I talked to you a couple of years ago, those 2 years, I'm like, you know what? They're kind of cheating on Carson Wentz here, like an affair. You know, with Foles. You know, they're kind of cheating on him.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be doing this. And Foles has got to go. I mean, as much as we love Foles, he's got to go. But now this guy's not going.
No, they created the same situation. So, like, when you're talking about the toughening up part, is it okay to do that, or is that more destructive to do that?
Well, this is me speculating that they have surmised that to make him a truly great player, he needs this. You know, he's going to get all the coaching. He's going to get all the love because of the resources spent on him. But they think he needs this. This is my feeling, that they need a toughness about him that maybe they haven't seen, and this is one way to toughen him up. But you still have the problem of, what do you do with this second rounder? You know, because at some point he's going to...
Yeah, I don't know if the toughening up part is worth it. I think that it could be worse if you try to do something like that, because you're inciting an entire fan base against a guy if he doesn't play well right from the jump.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Now, so let me phrase this another way. We're talking about Andrew Brand, of course, who was in the Green Bay Packers front office when he picked Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre. In that corner, different circumstances, but so they either picked this guy, number one, because they were romanced by the name, and he may have been the highest player on their board at that point, just like Aaron Rodgers was for you guys. The second option is this was a strategic move, because they have decided, even after all they've invested in making Carson Wentz the franchise quarterback, that they need more, and that this guy Hurts represents more, so we would rather go forward with this guy. Which is closer to the truth?
I mean, I think there's an easy, rational explanation for this that, again, doesn't make Wentz look like the superstar that everyone thinks he is, which is this idea that the second quarterback is one of the most important positions on the team, I don't know if I believe that. You know, I hear that thrown around, mm-hmm. like,
yeah.
You know, that's just, I guess it. You can rationalize that if you say, okay, he hasn't finished these seasons. He's played most of these seasons, but he hasn't finished. No, this is not a guy that's missing full seasons. So I don't know. I mean, I think it's great. And I think maybe there's some simplicity to this that they said, wow, you know, we didn't expect Hurts here in the second. But to me, you know, you've got to answer a couple questions here, just like in Green Bay.
Yeah. So
he's got to play. So when is he going to play?
So if this is a situation, you're presented with this, you're in front office, you're on the clock, would you have done this?
You know, I don't want to do a cop-out answer, but I got to know, what's the plan? You know, in Green Bay, they must have a plan. You know, it's like 2022, we're turning it over.
The only plan could be, Andrew, is that they want the guy to take over.
But when?
Well, I don't know, but you know, it's like clear to me, you're right, you don't, like, look at the good teams in the NFL that have the star quarterbacks. They're not investing in a backup for those guys. They have their starter, and then they have a veteran who could play a couple games. Who invests in, like, the Chiefs didn't invest in a second-round pick to have to develop a backup for Mahomes, did they?
I mean, what you have now is not only $128 million. You have whatever it costs to get there. What was it, two ones and two twos?
Yes.
And now you add a two.
Yes.
So basically, you've invested all of this into Carson Wentz, basically, because Carson Wentz is not going anywhere. And I just don't see Carson Wentz going anywhere, what is he, 25 now, at age 27, away from the Eagles. I don't understand. This is not even Aaron Rodgers, where he's 35.
Yeah, well, I think here's sort of the parallel. You know, Cobb was the successor to McNabb. They brought Vic in.
Yeah.
As the guy, Cobb gets hurt, Vic plays well. At that point, they can't turn away from Vic. They move Cobb. That's what I think they're thinking here. That's the more most organic way they can make the transition to Jalen Hurts.
I mean, listen, I was consulting back then, and we put a lot of money into Cobb as a
mm-hmm.
you know, potential starter, and then Vic came on. But again, Donovan was older.
Yeah.
The age thing is... I mean, you look at it from a financial point of view and how he's got that background, there may be no player in the NFL with as much cap, cash, and draft resources into him as Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
See, that's what gets
me. And they just said, never mind. That's what they've said.
Well...
And we'll see if they're right. I don't know. I mean, they did it. It's like we could look at it and go, I'm giving the benefit of the doubt and saying it was strategic. I can't imagine they would just overreact and get gooey over the romance of the guy's name. And right. The only strategic part of it could be he's our guy other than this guy number 11.
At some point.
Yeah.
But 11's 25.
I think they've decided. They've already made the decision. I think that they're better off with Jalen Hurts than Wentz, and it's just a matter of how this plays out.
And that's an extraordinary statement. And again, I'm not totally disagreeing with you.
Yeah,
it's an extraordinary statement.
It really is.
Because if Wentz was still on his rookie contract, okay, great, I get it.
Yeah,
but they've thrown the world at him.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're saying, oh, yeah, by the way, we're also throwing this guy in the mix.
Yeah. Let me ask you one more question here, because this is a hypothetical barroom conversation question. I was really high on CeeDee Lamb. And it looked like they could have got up to 16 had they given their second-round pick. So what's the better deal, drafting Rager and Hurts or CeeDee Lamb?
Well, you're not in their scouting room.
Yeah.
I just think they thought this group was pretty equal.
Okay.
And that's Judy, Lamb, Ruggs, and Rieger, and maybe Jefferson. But The Eagles have done this. They did this with Macklin years ago. If they see a guy, they would go get him. I mean, that's their history.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you this. Talking to a couple of scouting types, they did really like Reagor. They thought Minnesota would go Reagor instead of Jefferson. They thought that, if available. So there was some good feeling out there about Reagor.
All right. Andrew, always a pleasure. Good stuff. And we'll see how this plays out. But I tell you what, it gave us some conversation.
There will be lawyers, Mike.
All right, Andrew, take care. There is Andrew Brandt, the Comcast Business Hotline.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.